Would you turn back to Mark chapter 1? I've entitled this message, What Does It Mean to Come to Christ? Now that ought to interest every one of us very much. What does it mean to come to Christ? If you do not personally come to Christ, whatever that means, we will not be saved. We will not be in heaven. So I must know, what does it mean to come to Christ? Let me read you some scriptures. In John chapter 6, verse 37, the Lord said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All of God's elect shall come to Christ. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now listen to me. If you come to Christ, you will be received. He will not cast you out. In John chapter 5, verse 40, the Lord said to the Pharisees, You will not come to me that you might have life. You see, this thing of coming to Christ is the act of spiritual life. John chapter 7, verse 37, the Lord Jesus said, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, Peter said, To whom coming? Do you know that describes the believer's life? To whom coming? As unto a living stone. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Lord said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Revelation 22, verse 17, we read, And the Spirit and the Bride. This is the message of God, the Holy Spirit. This is the message of the church. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Not go and do. Not go and make yourself ready. Don't think about anything that you need to do. Just forget that. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If I do not personally come to Christ, I will not be saved. Now the big question is, what in the world does it mean to come to Christ? Now you've come to church this morning. It was a physical act. You got out of bed, possibly, hopefully, with the intention of coming to church. You got dressed, you got in your car, you drove here, you got out, you sat down to listen. It was a physical coming. I hope it's for spiritual bread, but coming to church was a physical thing. But do you know that coming to Christ is a purely spiritual act. You come to Christ without moving a muscle. It's something done within the heart. What does it mean to come to Christ? Now, the only way that question can be answered is from the Scriptures. You see, if I say, here's what I believe it means to come to Christ, and I give you my thoughts on it, you know what that's going to do? It's going to confuse you. It's going to be cloudy. It's going to be something you probably are thinking, what in the world do you mean by that? So I want to avoid, in every way I can, try and give you what I think it means to come to Christ. And I want us to look at a place in the Bible where it says a man came to Christ. Now, this leper I just read about, look what it says with regard to him in verse 40. And there came a leper unto him. Now, we know this man came to Christ. And this man teaches us what it means to come to Christ. And it's my prayer that this very morning, everybody in this room will come to Christ just like this man did. Wouldn't that be a blessing of grace? If you and I are enabled in our hearts truly to come to Jesus Christ the Lord. You know, the Bible doesn't say anything about coming to Christ in response to an altar call. That's what most religious people think. The Bible doesn't say anything about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, that's foolishness. Just saying something like that is foolishness. The Bible doesn't even say anything about asking Jesus into your heart. You won't find that in the Bible. What does it mean to come to Christ? I know I won't be saved if I don't. What does it mean to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you turn with me to John chapter 6? I want to begin this message by you and I seeing that this thing of coming to Christ is impossible for us. That's where we must begin. As a matter of fact, if you've not seen that you personally cannot come to Christ, you have not seen who God is, and you've not seen who you are. Now, we got to begin here. John chapter 6, verse 44. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. And he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, how many different ways are there to take that? The Lord says, no man, that's you, that's me, no man can, no man has the ability to come to Christ unless God draws him. Look in verse 65 of this same chapter. The Lord repeats himself. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Now let's start right here. Me and you can't come. If we don't, we won't be saved. And we cannot come except God draws me. Except God gives me the grace to come. Now listen to this. You don't come until you see you can't. It's only when you see that you cannot come that you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins here. If you haven't seen this, you've not seen who God is. If you don't see this, you don't have any idea who you are. This thing of coming to Christ begins with me seeing that I can't come. Now somebody says, why in the world would you tell somebody to come when they can't? Because the Bible says this. We got to begin here with what God says in His Word. The Bible says this. And listen to the words of the Shulamite woman in the Song of Solomon. Draw me. If no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw me. Draw him. Here's what I say, Lord, draw me. And we will run after thee. Why tell people to come to Christ who cannot come? Because the Lord said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. There came a leper to him. Now, what does it mean to come to Christ first? You know you can't unless you're drawn. And you haven't commenced coming until you've been taught that. Second, you come knowing who He is. You don't come to somebody you don't know who they are. Now, does that mean you believe you know Him? You might not believe you know Him, but you know who He is. That is the important knowledge. If you know who He is, you'll know Him. But you come knowing who He is. That leper came to Him. Luke's account says, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, no man will come to Him unless he knows who it is he's coming to. This is not some kind of ooey-gooey, ethereal. You know who it is you are coming to. This man came to Christ knowing He was God. Somebody says, well, how do you know He knew He's God? Well, Matthew's account says He came and worshiped Him. And He asked Him to do what only God can do. If you will, you can make me clean. He came worshiping Him. Is the one you're coming to worthy of worship even if He turns you away? If He doesn't do anything for you, if He doesn't do anything for me, if He lets me drop into hell, is He worthy of divine worship? Is He the object of divine worship? Now this must be settled first, without reference to what He does for me or you. He's to be worshiped for who He is. Matthew's account says the leper came before he received anything from Him, before the Lord responded to Him. He came and He worshiped Him. Nobody's ever come to Christ who did not worship Him as God. Now notice back in Mark chapter 1 once again. Remember, this is a man who came to Christ, and we're asking, what's it mean to come to Christ? Well, number one, you haven't come to Christ until you found out you can't, and it's only then when you come. Somebody says, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. That's from a knowledge of who He is and who you are. And you come worshiping. He is God. And look what this man. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Now hold your finger there and turn to Matthew chapter 8, Matthew's account. What does it mean to come to Christ? Verse 1, when He came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped Him, saying. Now, if you come to Christ, you've got something to say. And this is what you'll say. First of all, you acknowledge His utter lordship. He came saying, Lord. What is it to come to Christ? It's to acknowledge in your heart, and it's going to come out in your mouth, you're going to say it, Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. That means He's Lord of creation. This one I'm coming to is the one who spake the universe into existence. When He said, light be, the darkness fled. He created the universe. He's Lord of Providence. This one I'm coming to is the one who controls every event, every person, and everything. He's the Lord. By Him all things consist. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He's the Lord of salvation. What that means is my salvation's up to Him. It's not up to me. It's up to Him. Lord. Nobody comes to Christ who doesn't know who He is and doesn't know that He is the Lord. You remember that thief on the cross? He's the fellow that I'd say had the minimum of knowledge. Would you agree with that? He went up to that cross not knowing who the Lord was. And sometime during his time being nailed to the cross, he found out who the Lord was. What did he say? Lord, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, you're not going to stay on the cross. You're not going to stay dead. You're going to come back as a mighty, reigning King. Lord, remember me. What is it to come to Christ? It's to acknowledge His lordship. Notice what he says next in Matthew's account. This is written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But he says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt. When you come to Christ, you do acknowledge His sovereign will. Nobody has ever come to Christ who did not acknowledge His sovereign will. If you will, you can make me clean. Now, what does sovereign will mean? Christ has a will, an eternal will, a purpose. Christ has a will. Christ has the power to make sure his will comes to pass. Do you know his will can't be thwarted? If he wills something, it must be done. I mean, there's no argument. It must be done. He has the right to make his will come to pass. Can I not do what I will with my own? He said. And he always does make his will come to pass. The Lord doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This man came acknowledging his sovereign will. If you will. Can you imagine this man saying, Lord, I will that you make me clean. What insolence. What arrogance to come into God's presence and say something like that. Or say, Lord, I'm asking you to make me clean. It wouldn't be fair for you to not make me clean. Wouldn't come that way at all, would he? Lord, if you will. When someone comes to Christ, they always come acknowledging his sovereign will. If you don't acknowledge his sovereign will, it's simply because you don't know who he is. If you know who he is, you will acknowledge his sovereign will. I say there in Matthew, what happens next? If thou wilt, thou canst. You have the ability to make me clean. What is it to come to Christ? It's to come acknowledging his ability to make you clean. If you will, you have the ability to make me clean. Anybody who comes to him because of their knowledge of who he is, they know he does have the ability to make them clean. Now, they may question his willingness to. I understand that. I mean, that comes from looking at who you are and how sinful you are, and you think, why would he ever make me clean? I mean, I understand somebody thinking that way, but that reason we think that way is because we have too little knowledge of his character. You see, that's the only kind of people he does make clean. People who are unclean and have no merit of their own. But one thing every believer is sure of, everybody that comes to him, they're sure of, he is able. I'm not talking about my ability. I'm talking about his ability. If thou wilt, Lord, he came and worshiped him. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. You have the ability to make me clean. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it too hard for him to make you clean? I think of that scripture in Jude 24. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, because of who he is, you see, I believe he's God. I believe he's the object of divine worship. I believe he's the Lord. I believe in his sovereignty. If he wills something, it must happen. I believe his ability. I love that scripture, Hebrews 1:3, when he had by himself, without you, without your contribution, when he had by himself. See, he's got the ability to do this. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ has the ability to make me clean, sinless, faultless before God. So that when I stand before God in judgment and God looks me over, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Now we're going to get in just a couple of minutes to how that can be. But remember, this is what does it mean for a sinner to come to Christ? Well, he comes knowing who he is. He comes worshiping. He comes acknowledging his sovereign will. He acknowledges his ability. And in this thing of coming to Christ, there is an acknowledging of the fact that I am unclean. He was acknowledging the fact that he was unclean. That's a good word to describe me. Unclean. If I think it, it's unclean. If I say it, it's unclean. An unclean heart. A heart filthy, wicked. As God said, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Somebody says, I just can't see that. It's because you've never seen the Lord, you've never seen yourself, if that's the case. You see the Lord, you see who you are, you're going to say, that's me. Unclean. Now remember, this man was a leper. What disease does the Bible talk most about? Leprosy. Leprosy. It's a picture of sin. Leprosy. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 13 for just a moment. Look in verse 44. He's a leprous man. Leviticus 13, verse 44. He's a leprous man. He's unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. And the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He's unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. Look in verse 12 of this same chapter. And before I read this, Luke's account tells us that when this leper came, he was full of leprosy. The same leper, Luke gives us this detail, he was full of leprosy. That means every square inch of his body was completely covered by this hideous disease. There was no cleanness in him whatsoever. He couldn't look at one spot of his flesh and see healthy flesh. He was completely covered with leprosy. That's how this man came to Christ. Completely covered with leprosy. Now look in verse 12. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean. Now, as long as, let's go on reading. He's all turned white, he's clean, but when raw flesh appears in him, that word raw means living, healthy. If raw flesh appears in him, he shall be unclean. Now, do you hear what that's saying? It is only when I come with nothing but my leprosy. nothing but my sin. And everything about me is covered with sin. That's when the priest pronounces him clean. And that's one of the great mysteries of the gospel. It's only as you come completely covered by sin that you're going to be pronounced clean. Let's go back to Mark chapter 1. If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Now, what is it to come to Christ? It's to come to Him for the right thing, to be made clean. He didn't come to get his marriage straightened out. He didn't come to get his finances improved. He didn't come to be saved from hell. He didn't come to be made healthy, wealthy, and wise. He came to be made clean. That's what I need. I need to be made clean. I can't make myself clean. I come to Him as God, worshiping Him for who He is, acknowledging His Lordship. He's the Lord. Acknowledging His sovereign will, if you will. Acknowledging His ability, you can. Acknowledging my uncleanness, if you can, if you will, you can make me clean. I'm not clean. I need to be made clean. Now that is what it means to come to Christ. Verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion. You see, anybody who comes to Him just like this, He's going to be moved with compassion. Oh, the compassion of the Son of God toward sinners. He's moved with compassion. Put forth His hand and touched Him. How long you reckon it had been since that man had experienced any human touch at all? Would you have touched him? I wouldn't have. But the Lord moved with compassion. Oh, He's so glorious. He reached forth His hand and touched him. And let me say this. If I'm coming to Christ that way right now, He touches me. If you come to Christ the way this man did, He's moved by compassion. And He reaches forth His hand and touches you. And saith unto him, I will. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I will. Everybody who comes just like this hears this. I will. Oh, there's such, if I say I will do something, you know how weak and I will do this. Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. You don't know what state you're going to be in the next 30 seconds. But when He says I will, He will. I will. Be thou clean. And verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately, the leprosy, now notice this word, this is very important, it departed from him. It departed from him. Went somewhere. Where'd it go? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. It departed from him. It left him. Very much like the glorious picture we have of the scapegoat when the high priest put his hands on the goat. What took place? The sins of Israel came through the priest to the scapegoat, and the scapegoat bore those sins. Now, if you would understand the gospel, if you would understand how you can be clean, here it is. God took my sin and gave it to his son, and it became his, and he put it away, and his perfect righteousness is given to me, and I am made clean. This man, full of leprosy, came. And the Lord was moved by this, and his flesh became perfectly clean. And if I come to Christ like this leper did, I stand before God right now, clean, spotless, holy, without sin. Verse 43, and he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man. Don't tell anybody about this. Now, why did the Lord say that? How many times does he say that? As a matter of fact, when he heals, somebody says, don't tell anybody. Man, I think the thing to do is tell everybody. You know, tell everybody. Maybe, you know, somebody will hear. Get the word out and everything. But what I love about this is the Lord wasn't seeking to gain a following. He wasn't. He said, you just go present yourself to the priest and offer there the things Moses told you to. Now, one of the things about this thing of the Lord's cleansing, you can, when he cleanses you, you can go to the law and it's going to say, I find no fault. No fault at all. He cleanses you. You can take yourself to the law, to the Ten Commandments. They look you over and say, perfect. Perfect. Verse 45, but he went out and he began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. Was he disobeying the Lord? Yeah. The Lord told him not to do it. Could he help? Could he keep his mouth shut? No. He went out and blazed abroad the matter. I love that language. You know, that's the way the gospel is to be preached. It's to be blazed abroad. What a glorious message we have that everybody needs to hear. Everybody needs to hear this message. I need to hear this message. This is the gospel. He went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. You see, through this man blazing abroad this matter, everybody came to him from every quarter, needing his mercy. Now, can I come like this man did? I know who he is. Do you know him? Well, I don't know if I could say positively I know him in the sense that I know he knows me, but I can say this, I know who he is. He's the Lord. He's God. He's to be worshiped. I come to him acknowledging his sovereign will. acknowledging his ability, acknowledging my uncleanness, acknowledging my need to be made clean. And here is his answer to everyone that comes to him just like that. I will be thou clean. Let's pray. Lord, you are worthy of worship because of who you are, whatever you do with us. Lord, we acknowledge that you are the Lord. We acknowledge your glorious lordship. We acknowledge your sovereign will, if you will. Lord, we acknowledge your omnipotence. You can. Lord, we acknowledge our uncleanness and our need to be made clean. Bless your word irresistibly and invincibly by your grace. And give everybody in this room the grace to come just like this leper did. In the name of thy blessed Son, we ask these things. Amen. Let's sing "Just As I Am." What page is that on?